Welcome to North Coast Conversation, a public service presentation of AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL. I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke. On today's North Coast Conversation, we get a tour of the new Sustainability Learning Center from Lorain County Solid Waste. And now, this week's North Coast Conversation. On today's North Coast Conversation, we take a tour of the new Sustainability Learning Center. As part of Lorain County Solid Waste Management District, they've unveiled this center located right near their collection center. We had a chance to talk with the Community Outreach Coordinator and Lorain County Solid Waste Management District's Brandy Schnell.
So when you first enter the Lorain County Sustainability Learning Center, we have our lobby, and there are a couple of things in here to note. So we have some infographic facts and figures. We do have our donor exhibit, and we have a few donors already listed here. We've received grants from the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency and the Association of Ohio Recyclers, and smaller grants from the Lorain County Visitors Bureau. And we also have smaller individual donors as well. And each donor has the opportunity to have their name placed on this very beautiful donor exhibit. Over here we have a display that can be moved to an event if we wanted to take it there, and it is printed on 100% post-consumer recycled plastic bottles, which is really neat because a lot of things are made on recycled material, but not a lot are made on items that have already been used and then recycled and then printed on them after that. So that's what this display.
And this display says Lorain Sustainability Learning Center, how the collection works, shows you the different areas where things go and how traffic moves through and how it starts the process of getting the items from the consumer back into the center.
Exactly. And so this would be good to be able to show people when we are out at an event like the fair or some other event like that. And then it also shows how you have choices to make for every piece of waste, solid waste, which is just garbage, anything you don't want or need anymore. You can recycle it, you can choose to reuse it, you can choose to compost it, and sometimes you have no other choice but to put it in the trash. But we really have to think about what is the best choice for that item and how that will affect everything around us. So next, we're walking into our classroom area. We have a capacity. We can hold up to 133 in our two classrooms. There is a partition wall that can separate them into two different rooms if we wanted to have two separate classrooms going at the same time, or if we wanted to have breakout sessions for, say, a conference or a meeting, we would be able to do that.
Let's get to some of the exhibits now, if we could. Lights come on by themselves. Oh, this is really.
I wanted that wow factor too when you first walk in.
Yep, very colorful, a lot of different areas. I don't know which station I'd go through first, since you're on the tour. Why don't you take me through? This looks like images of what would be like a compost pile. I would assume. I see banana peels and grapes.
Yes.
Food scraps, I guess.
This is the compost display. So it shows two different types of compost bins that you could have at your home. One is the typical outdoor home composting bin for food scraps that most people think about when they think about home composting. And the other is the vermicomposting, or the one that is used with worms to help speed the process along. So it is pictures and graphics to show the different layers of the compost bins. There's also a monitor here that when the viewer comes up, they can tap the monitor and it will play a video about compost.
And I see in the compost, we think about this, especially with the fall leaves raking. Sometimes people can do that in the yard, or the grass clippings. Those are the type of things that maybe can start up on the compost pile. And of course, composting is always good used in your garden to help your plants grow too after that.
Absolutely. So I'm going to take you over here. This is a statement piece. It's very, very large. This 21-foot long timeline intro, and it definitely gets across the point that we are trying to make, a kind of a repeat of that choices life cycle of products that we talked about in our lobby, which is that every choice that you make, big or small, does have an impact on the environment around you. So we want students all the way up through adults to understand that the choices that they make do have an impact. And each individual produces about 4.5 pounds of garbage every single day on average. And that garbage has to go somewhere.
I like this. The statement here says throwing something away does not make it disappear.
Very, yes.
And for children and kids, that's something that they kind of understand, because somebody threw it out and they go, okay, I don't have it anymore, I don't see it. Where does it go? This is kind of where you're telling them about that.
Exactly. It's something that I make sure that they understand. Just because you throw it away and you put it in that garbage can and the word away is literally in that sentence, I'm throwing it away, it doesn't go away. It has to go somewhere. And then we go ahead and talk about where it is going and how that gets managed. And the fact that it is piling up in places. So there are displays to explain all of that here at the Sustainability Learning Center. On the other half, we have some milestones and a timeline. And did you know that the first aluminum can recycling plants were opened in Chicago and Cleveland in 1904?
I did not know that.
Okay.
Didn't even know aluminum cans were available that early on.
So aluminum can recycling, it was really big here in Cleveland in the early 1900s. And they say Cleveland and Chicago because there's some debate about who was first, but it was the same year. So we put them both on our timeline. And then we go ahead and talk about the first sanitary landfill being opened in California in 1935. So before that, it was just the older dumps where things were just being dumped onto the ground without any real regulation to how the garbage was being managed after that. So sanitary landfills were opened in the mid-1930s. And then Earth Day was founded in 1970, which led to the creation of the United States Environmental Protection Agency. And then the way that solid waste districts came to be was the infamous garbage barge, as it became known, in the late 1980s that left from New York, headed for the Carolinas with 6 million pounds of garbage on the barge. It was going there for a pilot program, but before it could get there, there was a rumor that there was hazardous waste on board, and North Carolina would not accept it. And so they continued to try to find another port that would take it before 5 months later having to return back to New York and put it into the ground there. But it was a very embarrassing situation for the company and for the country. And this meant that a lot of states, including the state of Ohio, said, we better make sure we have some really good laws in place to ensure that something embarrassing like this doesn't happen to us. And so in 1989, they established the solid waste districts because of House Bill 592 that passed in the late 80s and created the solid waste districts and said every county had to belong to a solid waste district. So that's how Lorain County Solid Waste Management District came to be. We're mandated to exist, and here we are. We must have a place for the garbage for the Lorain County residents for our planning period of 10 years, and we have to educate people on how to get rid of these things.
So all right, I see a wheel over here. I want to start spinning this wheel.
Yeah, that is the goal, is to get people to want to spin it. So go ahead and give it a spin.
It says, what's your choice? All right, let me spiel. All right, I'm going to spin this wheel on here.
So what did you land on?
I landed on cell phones.
Okay, so here are your options. Collection center, composting, landfill, material recovery facility, or reuse. So what would you do with an old cell phone?
Oh, yeah, it's coming down. Somehow maybe a collection center or the material recovery. Let's see what a collection center. That's where I've seen people go. Collection center, tires you can recycle, cell phones, electronic waste as well.
Yep. So you got it.
So that's cell phones as well. All right.
Yep, you definitely do not want to put a cell phone in your curbside recycling bin. That's not going to be the right place for it. And if you lift these and you have something that's not, you picked the wrong choice, it won't be listed there.
Uh-huh.
If you lift it and it is listed there, then you know you got the right item.
All right, I like to play the only one more time. Come on, food scraps. All right, I know that one. We just talked about that. Composting should be underneath that as well. Food scraps, dry leaves, that's where composting will go as well. All right.
So you have nice fun wheels, like Wheel of Fortune.
Let's go on to some other exhibits you have here.
So this one is what we call our store exhibit. It's really giving a lot of choices and sharing those different choices with students and adults and making you think about it. For example, packaging versus no packaging. So if you have a toy that's going to be played with outside, it's going to get dirty anyways. Does it truly need to be packaged? No, probably not. So that would be choices that could be made. One of the other ones that we want to think about is fast fashion versus sustainable fashion. It's a lot of times today you'll see shirts, online for $3 and you get very excited because it's a $3 shirt. But if you put that $3 shirt in the wash, it's probably only going to be able to be worn one time. However, the shirt that costs $30, while it might be a little bit more difficult to spend that money, that shirt can be worn over and over and over and over again. At least that's the plan with sustainable fashion versus fast fashion. So trying to make choices using recycled and natural materials versus new and synthetic materials, new clothing versus secondhand clothing, disposable water bottles versus reusable water bottles, plastic soup packaging versus metal soup packaging that can be recycled. It's just a matter of trying to think about what can be a better choice than other choices. So here in the middle of our room, this is our collection center structure. It's quite massive. So it has a picture of a vehicle like it would be driving into the collection center, and then it is surrounded by these graphics that are on sliders that you can open up, and you can see all of the different materials that we take here at the collection center and some facts and figures. This is the display I was telling you about that has some actual facts and figures about our collection center.
Light bulbs, paints, fluorescent bulbs. I see there's tires as well. Different types of household hazardous waste, different chemicals. We have a lot of tires that we go through, right? It seems like that?
Yes.
Average 300 tons of tires come through the collection center each year and is sent to a facility to be processed and recycled.
Mm-hmm. Over here, we've got inside paper, electronics. We do a lot of electronics recycling. Rechargeable batteries. We've got the graphic that does the overview of the collection center. Over here on the outside, we have I call this my early learner puzzle. So we are geared towards that elementary, upper elementary grade level as far as like reading level. This is interesting enough. I've had high school students through here that found it interesting. I wanted it to be interesting enough for adults, but I wanted to have something that would be maybe for younger students as well. And what we have here is a garage filled with these little puzzle pieces. And we have acceptable and non-acceptable items that we take at the collection center and the trunk of a vehicle that they can choose which items, only the items that fit will go into the back of the vehicle. So this item, for example, would be cell phones.
Heart-shaped cell phone.
So that fits in there. But if you picked up something that did not fit, like this, which is exercise equipment, there would not be a place for that in the vehicle. So It's just a nice little puzzle for little ones. Over here, we have our display on the material recovery facility. So when items are picked up at your curbside for recycling, they go to a material recovery facility. Here in Lorain County, Republic Services runs the MRF, or Material Recovery Facility, in Lorain County. And we've got a fun little reader rail here where you can slide it across and see what the items look like that should be on the MRF.
Like on the conveyor belt there, what can go through the center. I see that.
And then some of the other systems that are used, optical sorters, they use a lot at MRFs, magnetic metals like steel are pulled out with magnets, and then they have filters and screens that will pull out the paper and cardboard. So they have a lot of different systems that they use to sort through all of these materials to get them separated, to bale them and sure. send them out.
Anybody who saw what Toy Story 3, I think, saw one of these in action with the toys going through that. But it's an interesting thing to think of how you put one thing in your bin and then other people sort through it and make it work that way.
So we have a nice display on landfills because not a lot of people understand how a landfill works. So, for example, a landfill is not just opened up and everything gets dumped in there and then they close it up one day. Landfills are managed by opening up one cell at a time and working in one section of the landfill at a time until it is full and then moving on to another section. And each night, the garbage that is dumped there gets covered with a daily cover to try to keep out animals and keep the smell contained, and then they'll bring in the next day's trash. They also have to manage the gas that is collected from all the decomposing trash, which is called methane. Republic Services, who owns the Lorain County landfill here in Lorain County, there is a plant there that turns the gas into energy, and then they flare off what they don't use. The wastewater that is collected from the pipes on the landfill is called leachate, and that is collected and tested and cleaned for proper disposal. So there's a lot of systems in place to keep the landfill and the ground around it as managed and safe as possible.
Let's look over here, sort it.
Okay.
I see you're carrying a pop can with us. You could probably recycle that in one of these here when you're finished with it,
I suppose. I could. So we've got these three houses, these sorted out houses, and they've got four bins. The bins are the recycling carts that you would find at your house for your curbside recycling, a compost bin for your household compost, the collection center bin, which would be things that you would bring here to us at the collection center, and then the trash bin, so things that would be going to the landfill. You also will see that there are a number of different icons here, different pieces, and you would just decide where you think that item would go. So right now I have a leaf in my hand. I think this leaf would probably go to the compost bin. So I'm going to test it here to see if I'm correct. And I got a green check mark. So that means I am correct, and then I can go ahead and put it into that bin. I have a milk jug here. If I put it on the recycling bin, because I know that's correct, I'm going to get a green check mark. But if I put this milk jug on the compost bin, I'm going to get a nice big red X to tell me, nope. Milk jugs do not go in your compost bin, so you might want to try again and find the right bin. So there's lots of different pieces to try and sort out the different materials at the houses to decide, do these materials go to the recycling, to your compost, to the collection center, or to the landfill, just to continue to reinforce what we are already trying to teach with all of the other exhibits, because we know that a person needs to be told the same message over and over and over again for it to become habit and for it to stick.
And as you're getting the young children in here as well, they go back to their house and their home and they have those sort of ideas, and that kind of helps expand that process even for next generations too.
I agree. The other thing that I have noticed is, so I have been with the Solid Waste District for a long time, for 19 years, and I have been going into schools and talking to students for so many years at this point that there are students I had talked to who now are adults who, if this is what they were taught as children, they now have the ability to teach their children the same information. And I wasn't necessarily taught reduce, reuse, recycle in elementary school, but the kids now are, that are young adults, they were taught this from an early age. So hopefully we will see a shift to people having always been taught this information, but it needs to be reinforced as important. And I hope that's one of the things that we're accomplishing.
Yeah, a lot of fun things here. I know we have, we're going to wrap up shortly in a bit. I'm curious, you've got different things. You got tires, a bench is made out of tires in that. That's sort of a viewing area where I suppose you probably have some instructional or other different types of videos that go on there.
That too. Video there, is, so it's our little theater area, and we do plan to expand that area. We have a nice couple of other display pieces coming for that area. But yes, there is a really amazing video when you walk over there, which we won't do because it will turn on. There's a motion detector that will turn on a video about electronic waste and how much of it there is and what we can do to help manage that. And yes, the seats for that area are recycled tire benches. You can also see to the right of that is our reuse area where there's a lot of items made out of old items. For example, there's like a nice
who's the talented person that puts those together? Do you have any idea, or did somebody
of them we have collected. Our director went to different art shows or flea markets or other markets, summer markets, and just literally looked around and found these talented people all over, you know, Lorain County, and purchased these pieces to put in here.
So that's your little art museum of recycled
products. It is our little art museum, and so if there are people out there who make cute little animals or other art pieces out of recycled materials that they would like to have something on display, to just contact us, because we have a place to display it. We'd like to give them a tour and let them see where
there's
it would
be. There's a lot of empty wall space, so you could probably expand it.
For
you
sure.
You were going to point over to this State of Ohio map that has all the different counties listed. I guess that sort of shows how the entire state is working to reduce, reuse, recycle.
Well, one thing I like to point out here is that you can see where Lorain County is, and you can see the star. That's where we currently are located. And the one thing I like to point out is that there are 88 counties in the state of Ohio, but there are only 37 landfills. So that's not something that most students I talk to know. They kind of seem to think that there's just a landfill for every county, like it's just something everyone has, but that's not true. So, and I always say to them, you know, would you want a new landfill put in next door to your house or your school? And they always say, well, no. And so I say, okay, well, if you don't want that, then probably nobody else does too. It's very difficult to get a new landfill put in. So we need to think about the space that we have in the landfills that we do currently have. And we need to stretch the life out that we have in those landfills so that we can keep them open for as long as possible.
And a lot of times you see they sort of cluster around major cities where there's a greater population and probably a need for that. But with anything, there's always expansion that's taking place. So that reducing and reuse and recycle part becomes even more critical.
Correct. But even if you look at Cuyahoga County, what you're seeing there in that cluster, those are all transfer stations. So there aren't actually any landfills in Cuyahoga County either. We're the only landfill around for a while here in Lorain County.
Have you had many people come through? I know this is relatively new, the center here. Have you had students come through, and what's the plan coming through for the, you know, next year as well?
So we did just open. We have had a career government day through the Educational Services Center where it was high school students that came through a few groups at a time. That was pretty neat because it was older students, and we got to do kind of a scavenger hunt learning experience, and that was really neat. We've had some other small groups come through, some people from the Ohio EPA. We've got a lot of groups, adult groups that are very excited to come through and see it. And I've got some student groups that I'm currently working with on a plan for field trips. It's just a logistics game of figuring out how we can get hundreds of students through here in a shortened period of time, because I'm only one person. However, we do have an amazing collection center staff who is able to assist me. It's a lot of retirees, but we do have some really great team leaders. Our retirees are great too, but our team leaders are the ones who could probably do the the tours of the collection center. So we're just working through how we're going to bring people through here, do classroom setting, do this education learning area, and the field trip and the tour of the collection center itself. And, you know, nothing makes you figure it out than just doing it. So we are setting it up and we are doing it. I still go do the presentations in the schools, but we're trying to get as many people in here as possible, and we're going to work out any kinks that we might have, and we're going to get it down to a very well-oiled machine, just like the other presentations that we do.
I'm curious where all these ideas for these different displays come through. I mean, they're very unique. They're very kind of specific to what you do. Where does something like that originate?
So that has been well over a year of thinking about what we wanted to accomplish, working with an outside group who does exhibits for other museums and things, seeing what other places do. There's down in Montgomery County, they have a learning center, but it's got some different exhibits, nothing quite like these ones. Looking at what they had and then thinking, I want something similar, but not quite like that, and just like looking at online to see what other people are doing and then making something a little different. Like these houses, for example, are not something that I had seen anywhere else. But just going through and talking to the exhibit designers and saying, here is an idea I had. I don't know how to make that work, but you make it work. Here's this idea that's in our head, you know?
And you have to sort of understand the educational component and how does it relate to different age groups. You talk about shapes and putting in the colors and things like that, which has that aspect to it, right?
And that's kind of where, where I came in was, here is the information that I need to get across to these students. Here is the information that they need as part of their state standards. And you, please help me to get that information across to them. And then me coming in and saying, okay, this works, but we need to adjust this because we can't have spikes sticking off of a wheel without rubber pieces on it. You know, we can't have the clicker to the wheel on the bottom. It has to be at the top. Like, we can't have these pieces here unless we say, put the item here, place item here, you know? So those are things from working with kids for all these years that I would know because I worked with the kids. So it's just, going when you're working on these things day in and day out, you go and find one of your coworkers and you say, here, what do you think about this? I'm stuck. You know, what do we do here? Well, what about this? And it's been a collaborative effort from the Solid Waste District staff to come together and say, like, this works. Why don't we make it a different color? Or this isn't working. What about this idea? Or let's pivot because we need this to be more functional. So it's been a lot of that. And to see what this room was, which was just a big empty open room, to having all these items in here, it's really quite astonishing.
Yeah. If there are people that are interested in seeing this or visiting this, what's the conduit for? I would assume classrooms, schools, or organizations. What's your thoughts?
So the best way to do that would be my email address, which I can give you, but also if it's easier to remember the web address, you can go on our website and my name and email is also on a front page of our web address. So our web address is lorainecountyohio.gov/solidwaste. So if you go to lorainecountyohio.gov/solidwaste, my name is Brandy Schnell, and I'm the special projects manager and the community outreach coordinator. You'll see my name and you could click on email me, and then you would be able to come directly to me and ask about a tour for your group, or if you're just an individual that would like to see it.
That's Brandy Schnell, Community Outreach Coordinator for Lorain County Solid Waste, giving us a tour of the new Sustainability Learning Center. It's located at 538 South Abbey Road in Elyria, right next to the Collection Center. By the way, the Collection Center is open Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday to drop off your household hazardous waste and things you want to recycle. They are closed, however, Monday and Wednesday, the weeks of Christmas and New Year's. And you can always visit lorainecountyohio.gov/solidwaste for more information. And that's this week's North Coast Conversation. I'm Bruce Van Dyke on AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL.